listening to the Big Blue Podcast. I'm Greg Stone, Associate Vice President of Academic and Campus Operations, joined by our president and my co-host, Dr. Lee Goodson. Hello, Dr. Goodson.
Hello, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing really well, and great. I'm interested, really, I mean, I'm always interested in the conversations we have with people on the podcast, but I'm really interested today because I will disclose that I'm one of those people who's, I've seen a lot of classic Star Trek, and I get a little freaked out about AI. And so we're going to talk about AI today with our guests, Dr. Sean Piefsasser, Associate Professor of Sociology, and Marianne Myers, one of our excellent librarians, a.k.a. also a former student of mine. I'm just going to get that in, just because why not? Talking about artificial intelligence. And so we could spend hours on this topic, and I have a feeling over the next couple of years
We all will, right?
But just to start things off, and we were talking before we began recording that both Sean and Marianne and some others in the college have been really involved in preparing some resources for faculty and for students. We have a lot of faculty members. Sean, I know that you make use of a lot of these tools in your classrooms. Some folks are a little apprehensive about AI. But before we can get into all of that, I think it's helpful to talk about what AI is, because I think for a lot of people, maybe myself included, that definition's probably a bit limited. So can you help us define artificial intelligence? Is all AI the same? Where do we even begin, Marianne?
So simply put, artificial intelligence is the science of making intelligent machines. And there are different types of artificial intelligence. There's narrow, general, and super. The tools that we're seeing right now, those fall under the narrow artificial intelligence. That's artificial intelligence that performs a limited task or set of tasks, whereas general intelligence, that is it's theoretical. That is artificial intelligence that is on par with human intelligence. So being given an intellectual task and finding a solution on its own. Super intelligence, also theoretical, does not exist yet, maybe someday possibly could exist. That is going beyond human intelligence.
So then just for clarifying for my own edification, my Alexa devices at home that can add to my shopping list or tell me the weather, narrow AI.
Yes.
Where's ChatGPT?
That is a narrow.
That's also
an example of narrow AI. So is a self-driving car. ChatGPT, you will often hear it referred to as generative AI as well. That just means that it is a type of narrow AI that generates new content. So ChatGPT generates text. DALL-E generates images. Those are both OpenAI products.
And ChatGPT, a really narrow slice of the artificial intelligence discussion, but here at TCC, it is
a big part
the big part of it.
AI discussion. Absolutely. Right. Well, to Dr. Stone's point, some people are very excited about the possibilities that AI's role can play in higher education, and some are very skeptical. And I go to meetings with other presidents, and even, you know, we're supposed to be like, yes, let's embrace the future. And a couple of them, you'll appreciate this, Greg, were former English professors. I mean, they come from the English department, and they're like, I am still not sure what we're going to do with this. What do you think this topic, why has it become so controversial in higher ed?
The conversations that Marianne and I have been a part of, with where colleagues of ours express their fears, I typically see two types of fears presenting itself. One is fear of a job loss or being replaced as an instructor in the classroom. And the second fear is really about to plagiarism and cheating in the classroom. And so, you know, either inability for someone in the future to be able to continue to earn a living, or an inability of students to really learn and critically think, and replacing, you know, both of those qualities that make TCC and higher ed so impactful.
similar to how I think a lot of folks a few decades ago, particularly in math and science departments, were concerned about students using calculators.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a false analogy in some ways, but that conversation sounds a little familiar.
It certainly, yeah. When I was growing up, being told you're not always going to have a calculator with you every day, all the time, so you have to memorize this. Well, now I do have a calculator with me every day.
And so much more, right?
Yeah.
Over the course of this last year, you both worked with some other colleagues and developed a new LibGuide. And if people who are listening, by the way, aren't familiar with LibGuides, you need to go to the library website and check out the LibGuides because they're amazing, not only for instructors and staff, but for students too. Can you sort of talk to us a little bit about how that LibGuide came about and walk us through how to find it so people can make use of those resources? Because having spent time with it myself, there's some really great stuff there.
Oh, that's good to hear. Earlier this year, right after ChatGPT was released, myself and a few other librarians, it was kind of a fact-finding mission. We were trying to learn more about it ourselves, and we were collecting all this information, and we decided this is something that other people would find useful, we thought, and so we started collecting it and building a research guide. It's available on the library website. If you click on Research Guides on the homepage, you can find it. It focuses on AI and higher ed. There are a lot of resources there available, glossaries of terms, definitions, some outside resources like the guidelines published by the Department of Education. There are some strategies for teaching and instructional design. We did focus quite a bit on ChatGPT and DALL-E. Those are the OpenAI text and image generators. And then my favorite part about the guide is the news tab. So the librarians, we are constantly getting new information, and it's kind of overwhelming. There's a lot of information about this topic right now. And we have used that news tab to publish the articles that we think will be most useful and most helpful to our TCC folks. And so you can subscribe to that tab. It's a blog style website, and anytime we post a new article, it's usually one or two a week, you'll get an email notification.
You've become advocates of AI. How have you both used it in the workplace?
This past semester, Marianne and I teamed up in my Pop Culture in America course, and Marianne gave a library demonstration regarding AI literacy to my students, and then we surveyed those students to get their feedback and their impressions about how helpful it was and their feelings about the ethical boundaries of AI in the classroom. And then later on this semester, I will be encouraging my students as part of assignments to go out in this pop culture class to go out and explore and play with the technology and reflect on it and see how it helps or hinders what they've done in the past.
What kind of response did you get?
Overwhelmingly, they knew where the line was.
Yep.
After our discussion, they knew that having ChatGPT write your paper is cheating. And we had some variation on how they might use it in their academic career beyond that, from brainstorming and creating outlines to editing and revisions. There was a lot of discussion of that. I think they came out a little bit more hesitant to use it than I think I expected after the session.
And that was not my intent, or our intent, maybe. Going in, I was simply taking the perspective of this is available for them, I want them to use this responsibly. And after Marianne's presentation, they realized how inaccurate some of the information could be. And so they really, a lot of students made the comment around the idea of maybe sometime later, but not now, using it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That is really interesting, because I almost wonder, just as a follow-up, I almost wonder if you hadn't shown that to them and kind of outed the issue right? Yeah. Because some people have been like, oh, we don't want students to know about this. Well, everybody knows about it, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, the genie's out of the bottle, so to speak. And now that you've pointed it out to them, they're like, you know, it's just, it's not as enticing maybe as it was before that presentation.
Yeah, going forward, I think it will be crucial for us to educate students on the reliability and accuracy of these tools themselves, and to teach them how to evaluate the responses that they get from ChatGPT or other generative AI tools, because it really is enlightening to see how inaccurate and wrong those responses can be if they have sources. Sometimes the sources don't exist, or they're not written by people who are qualified to talk on the topic, or they're not representing the sources accurately. Mm-hmm. And so giving students the tools to evaluate those, I think, will be really important going forward.
Well, and along those lines, and sort of going back to something you said earlier, Sean, about some faculty concerns about students using those tools to plagiarize or cheat, are there effective detection tools out there? I mean, I feel like when I hear that topic brought up, the answer seems to be no, but I haven't really explored that much. But how should we use those tools that are out there, if or should we use them at all?
I don't rely on many. I rely on Safe Assign through Blackboard. Outside of, you know, submitting student work through AI detection, I have not found anything that I would trust completely to where there could be, you know, somebody who actually didn't use it, and I'm now accusing them of that. And some of my colleagues, they also recognize their mindset of constantly, when they're grading papers, wondering, is this student cheating? And they don't like that, that kind of a
it
mindset.
Certainly brings some negative energy into the relationship, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So having the conversation up front and getting people sort of hopefully on the same page is maybe useful, which is what you've done.
And it's something that the students in the survey that we gave, you know, it's just one class of mine, one section, but almost all of them responded with the values that they wish faculty would lead, with honesty and open transparency and communication and just having that conversation in the classroom. And so, you know, for colleagues who maybe are more like, you're not doing that, don't do that, I would hope that they would at least, you know, discuss with students what those students know and what they've tried, and have a conversation about that.
We know that it's out there.
Yeah.
We know that people will use it. Where can students and employees go for reliable, accurate information about AI and its role in higher ed?
I would say Marianne.
So I have lots of resources. If anyone is interested, I have lots of resources on that. I think the guide is a great place to start. That's on the library website under research guides. There are lots of websites out there that are linked on our guide that you could use. I know that Harvard is getting ready to publish it's called the AI Pedagogy Project. It will have a lot of activities, assignments, prompts that faculty can use to engage with AI going forward. It has not been released yet, but it should be out soon.
Will that be open source?
Yes.
It will be. So I imagine a lot of open source materials are being developed throughout the higher ed community where they have the resources to do that.
Yes.
And even there are some sites that I was showing Marianne today of in Introduction to Sociology, we use OpenStax, OER resource, and you can download a PDF for the chapter and upload it into, you know, some of these AI sites and ask it for activities or ask it for discussion prompts in the classroom. And for some of my colleagues, especially faculty who have never taught before, that could provide a lot of inspiration for leading, you know, classroom discussions.
We get so focused on the parts of it that aren't favorable.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Thank you so much, Dr. Sean Piefsasser, Associate Professor of Sociology and Marianne Myers Librarian. We so appreciate both of you being here. And Dr. Stone, thank you so much for co-hosting today.
I feel better about AI.
Yeah, well.
Live long and prosper.
Right, that's part of why we did this. But you've been listening to the Big Blue Podcast. Thank you very much for listening. We will see you next time.